This is Hit Bull Win Podcast,
the official podcast of the Durham Bulls,
part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network.
Another week goes by, another week of Hit Bull Win Podcast. I'm Patrick Norwood. He is Scott Strickland. I am the video and digital production manager. He is the assistant general manager, operations. Scotty, how are we doing?
We're doing surprisingly well.
Good. It is technically, we're recording this one early, I'm going to be honest with everybody. It is your birthday.
8:58 a.m. Forsyth Memorial Hospital, Forsyth County. Over there into the old Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 39 years ago.
They were blessed and had no idea. Wow, really giving out your age on the podcast already.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
You're okay with it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Got to endorse it. Got to roll it. Not endorse it. Embrace it.
You don't look a day over 38.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Endorse. I'm just setting us up.
Yep. Oh, hey. Got a special guest today. I teased this like probably 3 weeks too early, but I had already said it and didn't want to take it out of the podcast. But today we have Peyton St. George, Duke softball pitcher, and more importantly to us in this podcast, Durham Bulls brand ambassador. Really, really cool person. She's got a lot of cool passions and initiatives.
Yeah.
One that surprised you.
I was about to cut in and say, more important than either of the two things you just... What an impressive person.
Yeah. Like actually
so, okay, so
creative. Yeah.
Here, in all seriousness.
Yep.
Oftentimes, this happens in life where you're in the room with somebody or you're on a phone call with somebody. Usually, it's in the room. And you just sit there and you realize, and you could be a great person.
Yeah.
Right? You could be a great person.
Yeah.
But you sit there and you're like, you know what? This person is substantially better than I am.
It's just like a really good
not
person.
Not better at painting, which is a tease as well, or more specifically for her, better at softball. But she's a better person than I am.
Yeah. Just a good person. So y'all are going to want to stick around for that interview. Scott, we are inching closer to opening day. And by inching, I mean we're screaming it towards it 300
it's
miles
like
an
hour. It's a combination of a hare and a tortoise.
Yes.
All at once.
Yes. I've got, I looked down at my project sheet last week and I was like, oh, I'm in good shape. Mm. I looked at it this morning. I was like,
jinx.
I'm in rough shape. Yep. So we're
we need all the help we can get.
Yeah, we sure do. We sure do. But we're looking forward to seeing everybody again. That's April 12th. If you want tickets, go to durhambulls.com/tickets. And now we'll throw it over to our interview with Peyton St. George. All right, now we're here with Peyton St. George, brand ambassador for the Durham Bulls, but more importantly, Duke softball pitcher, ace, nationally rated. How do I want to say that?
I don't know.
Your statistics. You have very good statistics. How's that? Let's go with that. Peyton, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
We're good. We're good. Thank you for coming on Hit Bull Win Podcast. So first off, let's talk a little bit about your relationship with the Durham Bulls and what you're doing with us this summer.
So really, my agent and I were trying to think of ways that I could be a part of the Durham community more, and it was kind of just, you know, what if we ask the Bulls, you know, what's the worst thing they're going to do? Say no. And so then, you know, we reached out, and, you know, they said we'd love to have you, so it was really kind of it all came together, and now I'm just super stoked that I get to be a part of it and be a brand ambassador, you know, connect with the Durham community more and kind of just grow the game of baseball and softball more.
How long have you been in Durham?
This is my fifth year.
Fifth year in Durham. Getting so your getting master's?
Old. Getting my master's at Fuqua and School of Business.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
We had the Fuqua School of Business graduation here.
We delivered a Woolly Graham out there last year, and no one thrilled that we were there. Very mad that we were kind of disrupting study time, I think.
Perhaps we can do a drop-in on Peyton later.
That'd be great. Yeah. We're going to get your class scheduled and just show up one day.
Okay. That's great. Just really
completely blow everything
up.
I
will be there.
Yeah, good. Good. Awesome. Awesome. So, good season so far. Mm-hmm. Started out, what did you say, 24?
We're 23 and 4.
Right 23 now. And yes. 4. Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Ranked 7th in the country.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Big series win against Clemson this past weekend, right? Because we're recording this for everybody. You're like, oh, that's not right. Well, we're recording it a week prior to when we release it because we schedule ahead.
That's right, because we're organized.
What we do. Yeah, yeah.
But unlike the parking of the Clemson softball bus.
Right, which was under a bridge.
Right, in the middle of a traffic lane.
Yes, in the wrong place. Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, back to Duke softball. Season's going well, but you were Duke's first commit, if I'm not mistaken, right? What was that process like?
Everyone always asks me that, and I feel like I won't be able to really like grasp it all until after I leave the program, just because I had nothing to compare it to. So really, it was just started out as a group chat with me and Coach Young, and then kind of grew to 18 people the first year.
Wow.
And yeah, it's really weird just because, you know, there wasn't really any expectations. There wasn't really any standards to live up to. I didn't have any older teammates or alumni. We still don't even have many alumni. But I think once I leave the program, I'll finally be able to see, you know, how I've left my impact. But it's kind of hard to see that perspective when I'm inside the program now.
What did you have hesitations being their first
Not
commit ever? You were like, let's
nope.
go.
She showed me a big grass field. She said, this is where the field will be. I said, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm curious about that from a facility standpoint. How cool was it to know that you'd be the first occupants of a brand new stadium that's built just for y'all?
It was really cool. They showed us the blueprints. We got to go in on the construction on our official visits the fall mm-hmm. before. She kind of showed us, this is where your batting cages will be, your locker room. And when you're walking through a bunch of cinder blocks, you're like, okay, well, like, this is pretty cool, but I don't
nice.
Really see anything. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And then when they released the stadium and we got to walk through it for the first time, it was like, oh my gosh, like, we had our Team One photo up there, and it was like, this is ours. Like, you know, regardless of how much debt we are into Duke still, but it was a really, really nice stadium. Yeah.
That's not your problem. That's really cool. I've always been interested in what it's been like to be like the first class of people. Like, y'all have to be such a tight-knit group.
We, the first year we had a lot of freshmen, a lot of really young kids. So I got a feel for Coach Young there, and that she was more parenting us instead of coaching us. And we had a few transfers, so they kind of led the way on a culture standpoint. But it was not pretty the first 2 years. We didn't have a culture. We didn't have really a legacy that we wanted to build. We had a losing record the second year. We lost like 30 games. So a lot of that together is we called it like our terrible twos year, team two.
That's
but
good. That's good.
Which
That's
only
good.
Makes it much better that, you know, team three, four, and five are doing so well now. But I think from the get-go, we just had to be so disciplined. I think that's where the success now comes from. Just you have a lot of 18-year-olds being so much more disciplined than everyone else in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So props to Coach Young for, you know, we trusted her and she parented us all the way through.
What's it like throughout the conference? Who are the predominant top of the pack folks, and who do y'all get up for the most when you're playing? There's got to be a rival that you. The blood gets going a little more than the others.
Yeah, so I feel like the UNC Duke rival is pretty classic, mm-hmm. but I think Clemson is probably our biggest rival just because they're only in their third year as a team.
Okay. So it's comparable to
experience. We were in the ACC championship together last year, and it was kind of like, we're That's the new amazing. Kids on the block. Like, you can't be the new kids on the block
right.
too. So, you know, every game that we play together, we're both setting records and breaking records for both of our programs. So it was the ACC championship, it was a 1-0 ball game. It was really tight game. And then when they came down for the series this year, we had a sold out stadium 3 days in a row, which just shows, you know, how much work both programs have put in. But historically, Florida State has been at the top of the ACC. And I think it's really cool the past 3 years. You see us, you see Clemson, Virginia Tech's ranked fifth in the country now. Florida State's up at 2 or 3. So now there's, you know, 2 or 3 ACC teams in the top 10, which is something you haven't historically seen. And
mm-hmm.
you have Notre Dame and Louisville. So it's becoming – it used to be Florida State and the rest of us. Now we're all pretty much up there.
Yeah, neck and neck.
Cool.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about Durham, your experience in Durham, and what you like about it.
I love Durham just because when you hear Duke and you hear Durham, you think this big city, this big school. And it really is like a smaller city, a smaller school that has like – such a big brand, such a big image. You think Duke is this like huge powerhouse, and it is, but it's only 6,000 undergrads, which is cool that it's such a powerhouse. And then it's right in the middle of Durham, which is such a cool community to be a part of. Kind of reminds me a lot of Richmond and that where I'm from. And you have the Richmond Flying Squirrels over there, and you know, that's kind of the thing to do, whereas Durham Bulls is kind of the thing to do. There's so many cool shops and restaurants, and you have like the Duke Gardens too. And so I just love being downtown.
Yeah.
It does feel really cozy and at home.
Yeah. What about the Bulls specifically? When you come to a Bulls game, how does it feel? Like, is it just you're here to kick back, relax, hang out with your friends? Like, are you invested in the game? That's one thing that I always want to ask people is like,
yeah,
we care a lot about wins and losses because
when an athlete goes to another sporting event, what's it like?
Right.
Can you unwind?
Like, are you able to take yourself out?
No, I don't. To a degree, you know, you get to the stadium, you're like, let's get some like Ritas or something and popcorn. And then
shout out Ritas.
Shout out sponsorship. You're welcome.
And then, you know, once you sit down, you're like, oh, come on, take a better swing, like stuff like that. Or like, that was a strike. You know, you can't really yell at the umpires, but.
Oh, you can.
Oh, you absolutely can. Yeah, you
not
can.
When I'm wearing Duke stuff. Duke that's softball a good point. Stuff. Maybe when I graduate and I come in some Bulls stuff, I'll be able to yell more. But
We should probably take notes from her about not yelling at umpires during the game.
Or Mike Brolin got yelled at once for during a playoff series. Like,
I've
getting
heard
into
Mike,
one of our umpires.
Mike. Yep. Mike took a photo with PSG when she signed her contract, and it was the most awkward photo he's ever taken. He didn't know what to do. I was like, dude, just look natural. Just couldn't do it.
Can't do it.
He just could not do it. Not I don't blame
DNA.
Him. I mean, I don't blame him. So let's go to your social media. You have a ton of followers on TikTok and Instagram.
Yes.
Of the two, which is your favorite platform?
I think Instagram, just because TikTok's kind of hit or miss sometimes. You know, if you catch on to the algorithm, whether you get a lot of views, and it's kind of just fun. Kind of like people get to see like who you are more instead of an athlete. But Instagram, I feel like I've had the most impact just in terms of like talking about my experience as an athlete and even the bad experiences too with like mental health and things like that. So I feel like I can reach an audience much better on Instagram, whereas TikTok is just like something to laugh at or like.
It's like it's a lottery. Right, like every time we do a TikTok, it's like, how's it going to perform? No idea. Know. Could be great.
No
could
idea.
Be awful. We have no clue.
Are you a TikToker?
Here, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a silent watcher at home, really. I don't ever post anything on TikTok. Look, video is my job. I don't want to go home and do my job for
that's
fun.
That's a good point.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed is that, I mean, some videos I have like close to 3 million views, but it's usually the ones where I'm like getting hit with line drives. Like people love those. Yes. And I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah, we
are. It's kind of brutal.
Yeah. We've posted, if it's not Ripken, the dog, great content because dogs.
Yeah, I like
people
those.
Love dogs.
Right. I think that's our most viewed TikTok. It's like 3.5 million views. And then if it's not that, we had our manager get hit below the belt.
Yeah.
That one went off. And then it's just
to your point.
It's
people
just
love watching
highlights.
People get hit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
why.
Blocker charge videos. Rick
and
Chapman,
I mean, we can put 2 hours into making a TikTok that gets like 4 views.
Yeah, I've done that before, and that's why I'm like the most like
that'll
off
take
the
wind out of your
are,
sails.
Yeah. No. I'm like, I'm not even gonna try.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Okay, so your Instagram we were perusing before the podcast because
okay.
So we do
stalking.
Our research on this podcast.
That's true.
That is not the right word. Researching. You paint shoes?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Let's talk about...
Like, what are you talking about? Then I was like, oh, yes. I'm excited about this, by the way.
Let's talk about your shoe painting.
So it started in high school with just like painting graduation caps and little some canvases. I'm just like, love painting, love art.
What was your go-to graduation cap paint job?
My
were there phrases?
Oh, my gosh. I can't tell you how many James Madison Duke dogs I painted.
Okay. Wow.
I'm like, someone else give me something to paint. I'm sick
and
tired of painting this.
Second episode in a row, JMU Dukes getting a shout-out. Yeah. That's wow.
So, because a lot of people from my high school were going to JMU, and I had like, by the end of the year, I was like, I don't want to paint this stupid dog anymore. Like,
yeah.
I'm getting tired of it.
Okay.
But so then I got to Duke, and I took a class called Art Entrepreneurship. And basically the whole semester it was, you know, find a company, like invent a company that you present to a panel of investors at the end of the year. And so I was like, okay, let's connect like the custom shoe artists to the people who want custom shoes because the market's growing pretty fast and Nike's trying to catch on, but you know, people are going to these like individual painters for it. And so then at the end of the class, they were like, oh, Peyton, like you paint, like why don't you try to paint a pair of shoes to show the investors? So I was like, okay, like I'll try it out. And they ended up turning out pretty good and the investors really liked it. And obviously, it was all hypothetical for the class, but then after I left the class, I was like, I could actually do this. Like, why don't I actually, you know, paint shoes, like, for real?
Yeah. How long does it take you? Does it depend
on
what
like
the request is?
Like, 8 to 10 hours, because you have to take the factory finish off the shoe, and you have to, like, paint it, and then let the paint sit, and then set the paint back in,
I'm
and then
fascinated.
Seal the shoe all over again.
Well, how did, okay, what, well... It was a lot.
This is
a
fascinating.
Lot.
All right,
it's
so you strip the paint off of the shoe.
Yeah, because like
what
if
you
like an Air
with?
Force,
what
it's kind of like
do do
slick, like acetone, or you can even use like nail polish remover.
Sure.
So to make the paint stick to the shoe, I'm talking about like leather specifically.
That's the great equalizer. Is nail polish remover.
So a pair of New
Balances
you could crush.
Yeah. So you take the factory finish off. So then it becomes kind of tacky.
Okay.
So the paint sticks.
Okay. Okay. And then to finish it, you just put a sealant on it?
Yeah, they have, I use like Angela's, that's the brand, another shout out.
Yep.
Not paid sponsorship.
Not a sponsor of PSG or the Durham Bulls.
So then you can either like paint over it, or they have some like sprays you can use.
Okay.
And then I like to waterproof them at the end too.
Ooh. So maybe they could be tarp shoes.
Yeah.
Dude, we're not getting her to paint. They smell so bad. Everybody's tarp shoes smell awful.
Perhaps you can incorporate
So we have, I don't know if we brought this up on the podcast before. You and Matt probably did. We have an entire cubby downstairs behind the visitors.
Just for tarp shoes?
Just for our tarp shoes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And they don't get clean. Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. It's bad. Really bad. When it gets to be like mid-June, you just avoid that hallway. Just avoid the hallway. It's not
just
good.
A hair.
It's not good. But that's really cool. So no, I don't think we should get her to do tarp shoes.
So are these like Christmas presents? Are you selling them? What are you doing with them?
So I made an Instagram just to kind of showcase the ones I've already done. Some people will say, hey, I want to do these for my kid on Christmas morning, which is cool because they'll send me videos of their kid opening these shoes. That's kind of where the joy of it comes from.
That's really
cool. Tears?
More of just like, oh my gosh.
Do you cry?
No. Okay. I cry when I'm on hour 10 of the shoe and I want
to
be done.
When you're tired of it and ready to hike in the river. Yeah.
I talked to Wes Burton, the Ole Miss pitcher, on a podcast a few days ago. And what we found in common was that he actually used to paint cleats as well, which is something I haven't really found that other, players do as well. So that was cool.
Another little shout out. You paint cleats as well?
I've only painted one pair of cleats, but I don't get many cleats. I guess because your school, a lot of schools, you can't really. Maybe baseball players get some customs, but with softball, it's more of like pretty standardized. What you can
Will Hoyle.
I know. He's got some cool customs. And Josh Nifong.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
I'm interested in this.
Yeah. I don't think I can paint shoes.
Have you ever been to Ole Miss?
I have not.
It's a cool place to go.
Very cool place.
That's what I've heard.
It's really cool. We
Oxford is a friend of the podcast.
Yeah. So I went to Alabama.
Okay.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. I was there. I was in Oxford 2 years before they beat us in 2012, second national championship year. Ton of fun. They were not that good that day, but Oxford was a really good time.
And one of their pitchers paints shoes as well.
Yes.
This is interesting.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So we're going to do two more things. Let's talk about your main initiative with mental health and student athletes and athletes. Talk about how you sort of got involved with that and what you're doing right now to sort of raise awareness for that.
Yeah, so really coming out of high school, I mean, I won 3 state championships. I had a insane record all 4 years. I kind of undermined the impact that mental health has until I got to college. And I think, being a new team and having a lot more pressure and, pressure to succeed, I guess. I kind of was thrown to the wolves as a player. I was a young player, so no experience. Haven't had much success. We kind of have to build your own confidence at that level because I feel like a lot of freshmen don't really play on the big stage usually. So that definitely had an impact. And then just the academics at Duke, like the strenuous schedule, everything kind of built up really fast. My first 2 years, I actually was considering transferring just because I, thought it might be too much, not a good fit. And I talked to the sports psychologist, Greg Dale, another little shout out.
Shout out.
There a lot at Duke. He kind of just, worked me through the stuff my first 2 years. So then I kind of realized, why isn't no one talking about this stuff? Especially the kids at Duke, a lot of the kids are going through the same things I'm going through. And no one talks about it, which it would really help me a lot. And other people, I'm sure, if it was talked about more. So then I started following Victoria Garrick, who is a USC women's volleyball player. After she graduated, she kind of spoke more about it publicly, and I think that's kind of where the stage opened up more. And it took a lot of time just for people to, as I've noticed that 5 years I've been in college, more recently I think a lot of people are talking about it, but just to know that my platform, as it's getting so much bigger, if I can talk about it openly and not feel embarrassed or shy away from it, then
for sure,
maybe other people will talk about it too. And just some of the DMs I've gotten from younger players, older players, just saying hey, your post really helped me, or hey, I think I want to share my story to my team now too. And even if it's one person that I'm helping, if that was me in my shoes, I would have wanted someone to do the same. So hopefully I'm the reason that other people will open up about it more. And I'm at Duke, which is one of the hardest schools to be at as a student athlete, but it's also the best school to be at as a student athlete. So I was kind of thinking this is the number one school for student athletes, and like I have all these resources, like why am I struggling if it's the best? So I just want people to know, like, you can have everything, you can have all the resources, you can be the number 7 ranked team in the country, you can have the best academics, and still, like, it's okay to struggle. So just hoping that people know that too.
Do you find that you're connecting more with softball players in that regard, or is it all over the map? All sports.
I think it's all over the map, but I think when you look at softball and even baseball too, I think those two sports have the most, you know, grueling schedules.
Big
You're
time.
Playing
Big
56
time.
Games a
yeah.
season. I don't think people realize how, like, how much pressure and time that is just in a day. You know, you're taking however many hours a day, and even when you have doubleheaders and the travel, I mean, especially with softball too, you know, I mean, being a pitcher, like, we don't have a pitch limit, so, you know, most weekends I'm pitching so many innings, and just by it kind of sets me up the whole week to just be exhausted. And I don't think, you know, you're not getting much sleep. So I think baseball, softball specifically, I feel like the audience I've reached there has really made an impact more.
I feel like the seasons have, like, a huge impact on it as well. You know, you're outside, but it's February, it's cloudy, it's rainy,
freezing.
It's cold.
Spring
all the time.
Sport.
Yeah, right. Spring sport.
A winter sport
not
that
spring
ends
spring
in the spring.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So I feel like that probably plays a little bit into it as well. That's awesome. So what are you doing sort of actively now? Have you started a group? Are you a part of any organizations?
So I'm a part of Morgan's Message at Duke, which was founded after a lacrosse player committed suicide at Duke, which really was a big tragedy there. And
yeah,
I think
sure.
it kind of brought to light, like, hey, this is real. This is happening. It's at Duke. It's right in front of us. So that organization was formed. So I'm a part of that. Just doing a lot of everything I can around school. I'm wearing a green ribbon every game just to show my support for mental health.
Sure.
Just actively listening to podcasts and reposting what I like and just, like, giving my opinion on things. And, you know, like I said, even if it's like, no, even if no one cares about my opinion, if it helps one person, then I'm doing
one person
job.
Can make all the difference. That's for sure.
I know the baseball team is actively involved in that group as well, and multiple video board messages during games to support the cause, and they've been popping up on Instagram a lot too on their page too. So that's I think it's just cool how y'all's platform that you have to similarly aged folks first, right? That those are mostly the folks who are probably within your following groups, right? And that's incredibly impressive perspective that you just gave, that I'm sure is appreciated by numerous people.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We really do. The last thing that we wanted to do is a lightning round with PSG.
Oh, gosh.
We're just going to feed you a bunch of questions. Okay.
No pressure.
You answer them however much time you take. But as soon as you answer them, that's it. We're done.
Yep. Okay. No take backs.
Okay.
All right. No
Deep
take
breath
backs.
In. Here we go. All right. Your favorite place to eat in Durham?
Nuvo Taco.
Mm. Your favorite nightlife spot in Durham?
Nightlife spot.
Yeah. Do we have a favorite bar that we go to? Do we have a favorite restaurant that we go to?
Dude, she's got to be up at like 5 a.m. to lift.
I know.
Scott.
Do we have a favorite spot to go watch sports? How about that?
Well, that's kind of biased.
Okay.
Because she's going to say Cameron Indoor.
That's okay.
She's like, well, yeah, that's a good answer.
That
well,
works.
I feel like Shooters is like the college bar.
I was hoping that'd be the answer.
Yeah.
Shooters, maybe. I do like more from an adult perspective. I like Poor downtown.
Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah, it's a good spot. It's a really good spot.
I like that spot.
Favorite movie?
Oh, gosh. I know this is a lightning round.
Lightning
this
round.
Is,
we did top 5 baseball movies last week.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Well, okay.
Favorite movie, every Harry Potter movie. Specifically, probably Order of the Phoenix.
That's your favorite.
I'm a big Harry Potter
fan.
Yeah,
good. What's your favorite book then? Harry Potter book.
Favorite Harry Potter book? Goblet of Fire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Favorite sport other than softball?
Men's lacrosse.
And why?
They just get down and dirty.
Yeah.
I like,
they
yeah.
hit people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like seeing them just go at it. It's like whoever's stronger, almost.
Side note, I really didn't think lacrosse was that cool till I moved to work in North Carolina for High Point University. Mm-hmm. Shout out their men's lacrosse program. Awesome.
And the Duke program is really
good. There's nonstop action.
Good people over there. But I grew up watching hockey, and I was like, this is just hockey without the ice. This rules.
Hockey without the ice.
Yeah. This rules.
That makes sense.
And I know, like,
I've never heard it referred to as that, but that makes clear sense.
It pretty much is. Okay, let's go. Favorite TV show?
Ooh, that's
you
a tough one.
My question.
Probably Euphoria on HBO.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Scott loves that one, too.
I'm going to go back to the shoes. Your favorite design that you've done on a shoe.
Oh, that's good.
Favorite design. Oh, gosh. Someone asked me this the other day. It's like, and my answer was like, it's not even like my thoughts or my, it's like I bring other people's interests to life. Probably a pair of sunflower ones I did on a pair of Vans for someone's grandma.
Vans? Were they white Vans?
Pink Vans.
Pink Vans.
With sunflowers. With sunflowers.
That grandma has got some swag.
I know. That's what I said.
Cool. Yeah. Currently, favorite music you listen to? Pre-game music. Let's go there.
Mm. Pre-game music.
Yeah.
As you're lifting.
As I'm lifting. Ooh. I really like Billie Eilish.
Okay.
But maybe not when I'm lifting. Probably some like rap or like Megan Thee Stallion radio.
Sure.
That's the weight room favorite. We're like, put on Megan. That's what they say.
I love asking college student athletes this question. What's your favorite coach phrase that y'all get yelled at for?
Ooh.
My favorite? Oh, hurry back.
Hurry back.
Oh, which means hurry to the fence and back. So every time we do something, all we hear is hurry back. And we're like, oh.
That's brutal. As soon as that H, that you're like, oh, I get it. I know.
Baseball's is trust the process. Process.
Oh, we hear
anything
that one
with
a
the
lot.
Term process in it. Yeah.
I could hear Pollard saying that.
Yeah. Big process guy.
Pollard a big Nick Saban guy? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pollard's a big coach guy. That.
Yeah.
Or just like trust coach, it. Coach. When I'm pitching, I'm you know, behind on the batter like 2-0 here. Trust it. Mm. I'm like, I'm not trying to throw balls.
Scott. But
I like that. Trust it.
I promise I'm trying my best.
I promise I'm trying to throw strikes.
Favorite class you've taken at Duke?
Ooh. Art entrepreneurship.
That's it. Right out there.
Yeah, that one was a big one. That one or I did take a mental health class for my sociology certificate or sociology minor. So just really seeing like the science behind it a little bit and then how like people act in organizations with mental health.
Favorite sporting event played in? Favorite sporting event attended?
Ooh.
Favorite sporting event played in? Team 3, our game against Texas when they were undefeated. And we beat them. Horns down. Yeah, horns down.
That was probably
better than winning the ACC championship. Ooh. I'm going to get a lot of hate for saying that.
I love that. No, that's huge.
Yeah, we were like brand new team, total underdog moment. Beat Texas when they were ranked 4th. And then from there, it was just great. Favorite sporting event attended? Probably the baseball ACC championship. That was like a little Cinderella story moment.
That was pretty cool.
That's we got awesome. A lot of close friends on the team. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Theirs was almost better than ours. I was like, oh my gosh. I feel like it's better watching than when you're in it, you're so stressed out. You don't have time to enjoy it.
I do love they waited till they did not play at their home ballpark to do that.
Yeah.
That was cool of them.
Yes.
Thanks, man.
Yes.
Or just like a 4th of July Durham Bulls game.
Yeah, right.
I think I've been to the past like 4 years, 4th of July here.
That's okay. Last year's was one of my favorite nights of the summer.
That was,
we need
that
to get her to
one.
Count down fireworks one night.
Yes.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Well, 4, so you just did it earlier for the podcast. You
there
it
we
for
go.
Fireworks,
oh,
right?
Yeah, so I got to practice that before I go.
That was the game where Kiros, El Pony, walk off betwixt third and short, and I'm out in the outfield and just saw everybody stand up and then just like a wall of noise hit the camera.
That's awesome.
Chills. I'm getting chills thinking about it right now. Because we walked off the night before that too. Padlo down the line. Why do I remember this?
Padlo.
So I was like, oh, they can't lose him for the July.
No,
sure
on.
Didn't.
El Pony would not let that happen.
Who were we playing?
Gwinnett. I think. Yeah, Gwinnett.
You've got a 33% chance.
I went home and watched Top Gun after that game.
Why?
Because I wanted to.
Because you're jacked.
I was just that jacked. I wasn't sleeping. And I was like, you know what? Top Gun's on. Here we go.
Keep the momentum going.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, last question.
Okay.
Your favorite food item at the DBAP?
At the DBAP? Oh, probably the loaded tater tots.
Mm. Oh, hey. Yeah. Todd Finley is somewhere fist
bumping right now. Or Rita's. I'm a big Rita's fan.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. PSG, anything else you want to tell us?
Go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
And go Blue Devils.
And go Blue Devils. We're going to go to a game at some point. Front office has been talking about it. We're going to.
You have to. When it's warm.
How loud and rowdy would we be allowed to get?
Like as rowdy as you want.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Like full-blown heckling umpire.
You,
like,
you can yell at the umpire so my dad doesn't have to. He'll be like, oh, someone else is yelling. Yeah, I'll be quiet.
I'll get tossed out of a Duke softball game. I'm okay with that.
I'd be all right with that.
I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Yeah, usually my dad's the one that's chirping a little bit. But
okay. We'll go sit with him.
Yeah. Oh, even better.
Are you good at chirping?
No. Because I want the strikes. If I start chirping,
no,
I'm
not
going to
get
the strikes.
No, not at an umpire. Just at anybody.
Oh.
Like people running down the street.
I try to keep the drama out.
Good for you.
I'm like, no trouble. No
I'm
trouble.
Not that way. I love chirping so much.
I once got kicked out of a high school basketball game, and I was 10.
Yeah.
By a sheriff.
Legend. 10?
Yeah.
Scott.
Young legend.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I like chirping.
I do too. That's PSG.
Good Blue Devils.
Hit Bull Win Podcast. Go Bulls. Go Blue Devils. We'll be right back. Yeah, you were right.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, just, yeah.
Impressive.
Just like a really impressive.
And if she's that impressive now,
right?
Wait until she gets into the quote-unquote real world.
And goes to Duke. And no offense to your education or my education, did not go to Duke.
No, college dropout over here.
Yeah, so really cool and mental health, mental awareness sort of initiatives. Again, you can check out her Instagram and Twitter and TikTok, I should have said instead of Twitter. I assume she's on Twitter, but I actually don't know that for sure.
We actually did not, yeah.
So I will link all of her pages below. You can search Peyton St. George and she will pop up. She has a ton of followers. It will not be hard to find her. But we really appreciate her coming on. Today we pulled TARP at 9:12 a.m. and we got an email about it at 8:40 a.m.
And that was about the 9:30 TARP pull.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 9:30 TARP pull. And then at like 9:06, oh wait, no, we're doing it at 9:12.
And the backstory on that, though, is there was an 8 o'clock weather call with Duke Game Operations, Bulls Game Operations, a.k.a. Scott
and
Cameron.
Yep.
And Duke's administrative staff for baseball and Coach Pollard.
Right.
And we were talking about whether or not we're going to get this game in against Presbyterian today. And then that led to a game being postponed. And then that led to, let's get the tarp off before all the rain gets here.
Let it soak.
Were thinking that would be 9:30. And then Cameron looked at the radar and said, ooh, I don't want people to have to get wet while they're out there. So let's bump it up to 9:12.
Which then to see us have like 14 or 15 people on a tarp pole at 9:12 a.m.
Yeah.
on 6 minutes notice is pretty impressive. Yep. I'm not going to lie.
It's fun watching all the... And who knows if any of this stuff is going to make the podcast, right? Because it might get cut.
Sure.
But who knows? Or where it would go.
We do a ton of editing on this podcast, so yeah.
But I think front offices around the world experience this. Some of the new folks don't exactly have their tarp gear from home yet.
Why would they?
Yeah. So like the old giveaways get raided.
Yes.
A lot of giveaway items in today's tarp.
And you know what?
Shirts, hats.
I'm a fan
of it.
Go for it. You know why?
A lot of tobacconists out there today.
Shout out Amy Zirkle.
Yeah.
We still have tobacconist stuff in my house, and every time I wear it, Jade's like, oh, you wearing a Zirkle today?
Yeah. It's a cool logo.
It's vintage.
A cool,
such a great
brand.
Look. Really good look.
Look. Yeah, what am I looking for?
No, you got it.
Good kit.
No, that's soccer.
Yeah.
I didn't think you watched soccer.
I don't.
It Welcome up to Hit Bullwin Podcast, your favorite Major League Soccer podcast.
That's right.
All right. As I mentioned at the top of the pod, tickets are on sale. April 12th, opening day. We've got a ton of stuff planned opening week. Barkerton Park, second day of the season. Who wouldn't love that? That's awesome, man. That's awesome. DurhamBulls.com/tickets. Go get some new gear. I talked last week about OT Sports and going there and touring that facility. Have a lot of cool stuff coming in that will be flying off the shelves very soon. It's getting warmer out there. Get your t-shirts.
Good looking gear in the store.
Get your tank tops. Get all of it. DurhamBulls.com/shop. Go ahead and leave us a like on the podcast. Share it with your friends if you're having a good time listening to it. If you're not, let us know why. Tweet at us. We'll get back to you. Gonna talk to you again in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.